This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Linmark Shahriz Abdullah and Wong Xiaoning. It is 7:06 in the morning, Friday the 28th of June, and this is the business end of The Morning Run. Now, overnight, the S&P 500 halted a four-day slump, but the Dow marked its longest skid since March as investors awaited U.S.-China trade talks between U.S. President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping during their G20 meeting in Japan this weekend. The Dow Jones Industrial dropped marginally 0.04%, while the S&P 500 jumped 0.4%, and the Nasdaq Composite also rose 0.7%.
Yeah, and there's a lot of winners over in Asia as well. The market gained in early trading yesterday as investors focus on optimistic signs ahead of the G20 summit in Osaka. So we saw the market indices of Nikkei, Hang Seng, Shanghai Composite, South Korea all rising, except the only loser here, FBMK LCI, closing 0.1% lower due to last-minute selling in selected heavyweights.
Because, of course, we are the most unloved stock market in the region.
What a shame.
Now, on the line to give us some insight into global markets, we do have Carlos Casanova, Chief Asia Economist at COFAS in Hong Kong. Thank you for joining us, Carlos. Good morning. G20 is set to convene with the meeting between Presidents Trump and Xi as the key event. If trade talks fail, will this lead to an all-out trade war followed by a political Cold War era?
Hi, good morning. So we have seen a lot of optimism surrounding the G20. Of course, the fact that both presidents agreed to continuing with trade talks is good news, and so that's likely to reflect an upside in equity markets around the region and also globally. However, we do believe that any upside will be temporary, and the main reason for that is that both sides do remain quite far away from reaching a middle ground, so we do think that a deal is an elusive scenario for the time being. However, the U.S. administration has mentioned that they could also potentially, you know, use a 10% tariff level on all Chinese remaining exports as an intermediary step before they apply the 25%, which to us sounds like what they're really doing is buying time. So they do foresee that, you know, things are going in the right direction, but potentially we have to wait a little bit before there's a resolution to all of this. A full-fledged trade war is not the baseline scenario for now, but we do have to wait a little longer.
And Carlos, Vietnam has been a key beneficiary of the substitution effect, right, from the U.S.-China trade war. Do you think they can still benefit because Trump seems to be paying attention to their trade surplus? And even last month, it was added to the currency manipulation watch list.
Absolutely. So we do say that there are some winners, I mean, quote-unquote winners, right, of this trade war. And Vietnam is one of them. Malaysia and Thailand are also stand to gain from that shift in supply chains because they have similar production structures to places such as China. The disadvantage of this is that a lot of these countries, Vietnam in particular, also have trade surpluses with the U.S. So their advantage is very exposed to political fluctuations. So if the U.S. decides to target some of these countries, then potentially all of that advantage would go away. And Trump did announce in a televised interview with Fox News that he was mulling tariffs on Vietnam. So maybe we need to curb our optimism before we start calling these countries winners, because they could be also victims of protectionism by the United States.
And Carlos, analysts are suggesting that Singapore's economy will probably experience a shallow technical recession in the third quarter as global trade outlook worsens. Do you agree with this? And do you foresee that the situation could further deteriorate considering the escalating U.S. and China trade conflict?
Yes, we've read reports by analysts stating that the economy will enter a technical recession, which means two consecutive quarters of negative growth in Q-on-Q terms. Now, we do admit that there is a lot of downside, especially on the external front, with non-oil domestic exports contracting quite significantly last month. I think it was a minus 15% contraction. That is definitely going to drag on the outlook. We don't expect it to be a technical recession quite yet, but it's enough downside to sort of potentially trigger the central bank into doing a little bit more easing to try to alleviate that blow in that market. And hopefully things will stabilize going into 2020.
Now, Carlos, concerns about inflation and public sector borrowing in India are putting the Reserve Bank of India on red alert. Is it enough for the Reserve Bank to take a more conservative position there?
I think they'll wait until the results of the budget are announced on July 5th. That will really determine, you know, what the bank has to do going forwards. So far, we're expecting the budget to be a relatively sort of tapered down budget. So they will focus on key areas and key priorities, and they will not do they will not exceed their target by too much. So the central bank would not have to change its current easing stance. But in case that they do put out a very ambitious budget, it's likely that the central bank will be more worried about inflation and will have to taper down its interest rate cuts a little bit.
Thank you so much, Carlos. And that was Carlos Casanova of COFAS in Hong Kong. And interesting that he highlighted that the trade war, that a trade war possibility is not the baseline situation just yet. But he did say that any upside out of the trade talks may be temporary, considering he sees that the discussions will continue and that they won't be reaching a resolution anytime soon.
Yeah, and also Vietnam having about 30% exposure, 30% trade surplus against the US. So of course. And now US is keeping an eye on them. Hence, I guess in comparison to Vietnam and all the other countries benefiting from the US trade war, they are likely to be badly affected because of the sheer number in comparison to Malaysia and Thailand.
I think the other issue is that we're starting to see data points in terms of exports weaken, and Singapore's the first to lead the markets, partially because Singapore is such an open economy. It doesn't have natural resources, for example, right? It's a services center based, very dependent on financial sector. So I think that it's going to be a tough quarter ahead as we get these weaker data points coming out of the rest of ASEAN.
Now, also taking a look at some international headlines, there's been some news out of Apple, specifically that Apple Inc.'s chief designer, Johnny Ive, is leaving after decades at the iPhone maker to form an independent design company with Apple as one of its primary clients. Ive is responsible for the look of the company's most iconic products, including the iPhone, and he will be replaced by existing Apple designers. So Evans Hanke, who's the vice president of industrial design, Alan Dai, vice president of human interface design, and they'll report to Jeff Williams, Apple's COO.
Yeah, so I wonder if this is going to make this is a signal for a big change for iPhone. It's been a while since they've had sort of a similar looking phone. For the longest of time. Anyway, now another headline is the US and China have tentatively agreed to another truce in their trade war in order to resume talks aimed at resolving the dispute. Now, details of the agreement are being laid out in press releases in advance of the meeting between the two presidents and at the Group 20 summit in Osaka. So such agreement would avert the next round of tariff on an additional $300 billion of Chinese import, which, if applied, would extend punitive tariff to virtually all the country's shipments to the United States.
And moving on to the auto sector, which has seen some bumps along the road, car giant Ford has said it plans to cut 12,000 jobs across its European operations by 2020. Now, the car maker is trying to cut costs and restructure its European business, which is losing money. It says it has plans to close 5 of its plants by next year, including the Bridgend plant in Wales, and is selling another.
So it's not looking very good out there for Ford. Ford employs about 51,000 people in Europe, and they're hoping to achieve most of the cuts through voluntary redundancies. And the whole car sector really is currently struggling to cope with a weak or falling demand in major markets and the huge investments required for the shift towards electric vehicles. Now, we have some local stories for you after this, so be sure to stay tuned here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.